Let's say hello to my great producer, Dan Shugru. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
All right, man. How about yourself?
Good, good. I saw a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Last night. I came down a little bit early to catch a late showing of Edgar Wright's Baby Driver. And it opens today, technically, but, you know, the night before, they always now do the early screenings that you can go to. And I came down and saw it, and man, wow. That's all I can say, man. It just blew me away. I think it might be my favorite movie of the year. Pretty sure it is my favorite movie of the year. It is just a stunning piece of work. And he directed the hell out of it, wrote and directed it. Great cast. It's so good, even Jamie Foxx is good in it. That's how good the movie is. And Jamie Foxx is really, really good in it. And, of course, John Hamm is the king. He's in it, Kevin Spacey, and then the two young leads. I'm blanking on the kid's name who plays Baby, but he's in the Divergent movies, and Lily James is the female lead, the romantic interest. It's just great. It's absolutely great.
I know one of the concerns, considering the structure of the movie, is that it would get old quick. It doesn't feel that way at all.
No, what you're referring to is the fact that every big action scene in the movie is cut and choreographed to music. And no, that it's stunningly well done. But there's this, you know, it's not wall to wall. It doesn't do that for the entire movie. There are a lot of action sequences in the film that are all cut together to whatever music Baby is listening to. And it's great. There's an extended scene late in the film where they use the song Hocus Pocus by Focus, which we've talked about on the air before. And I, as soon as it started, you know, as soon as I heard what Edgar Wright does with this action sequence, which is like a shootout, a car chase and a foot chase all together and all choreographed to Hocus Pocus by Focus, I was just beside myself. I was like rocking in my seat. It is a great movie. A great, great, great movie. And I know, you know, technically I'm not going to review it until Monday morning when the guys are on with us. But I wanted to let everybody know it opens today. You should see Baby Driver because it is absolutely great. And it's one of those movies that as soon as it was over, if it started again, I would sit through it. I immediately wanted to see it again as soon as it was over. It's unbelievably good. So that's what I did. Earlier this last night, and so there you go. I missed the end of I heard a little bit of the end of the Cubs game, but the Cubs game ended pretty early.
One of the bad Jake starts.
Absolutely, 7 stolen bases in 4 innings.
Yeah, it's that dangerous combination of him and Miguel behind the plate.
Miggy ought to learn to throwy. All right. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn.
Hey,
excuse me. What the hell was that?
Hey,
a little frog in my throat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. You got to go see this baby driver movie.
I'm going to now. It sounds good. And I was going to tell you, Jeannie and I watched a movie, which is the opposite of Baby Driver, where you don't want to see it for like another 10 years. Whoa. House of Sand and Fog. Have you seen that?
Oh my God.
Probably 10 years, I'm guessing, at least.
2000.
But, ooh, man. It's,
two, maybe?
I told her. 2003? I warned her, too. And there were tears.
Oh, my God, that movie.
I mean, I actually closed my eyes for like 5 minutes because I didn't want to cry.
It's a great movie.
It is. Very good. But Jennifer Connelly.
Ben Kingsley
is just awesome in it.
It's a great movie.
But she, yeah.
It's thoroughly depressing.
So I'll watch that again in 2030 or something.
Esmeralda, Leon is in the traffic cut. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hello.
Esmeralda and I were having a conversation very similar to what you were just talking about, Vic. In terms of a movie that you don't want to see ever again. And Esmeralda and I were talking about the movie about Horse that I was talking about, Requiem for a Dream. Have you ever seen Requiem
exactly.
for a Dream?
That's a good...
Have you seen that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you're right. It's the same analogy. You don't want to watch it for quite
No,
a while.
I've only seen it once. It's a great movie, but I'll never watch it again.
Jennifer Connelly also in that
one. Yes, Jennifer Connelly's in that one, too. What's the deal? Yeah, no, I you know, and it's got some of my favorite people are in Requiem, and I mean Ellen Burstyn is one of my favorite actresses ever, and she is astounding in that movie. It is an incredible performance, but I'm never going to watch it again.
I think it's largely due to her role because it's so hard to watch.
Oh man,
she's so hard to watch.
And just like the refrigerator and the game show host, Christopher McDonald plays a game show host. But the thing for me about that movie is the last 15 minutes. That is just like, right, Esmeralda? I mean, I don't.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I mean, my God, and it's just relentless for 15 minutes, and I'm not exaggerating when we were talking about it the other day. My ex-girlfriend and I, we couldn't even leave the theater. Like I was like dry heaving. I had to put my head between my knees. I was like, I can't. I don't need this. What? Good Lord. So anyway, yeah. So Esmeralda, you got to see Baby Driver.
It's on the list.
Oh my God! And I mean, you're a fan of Edgar Wright's movies, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, this is not part of the Cornetto trilogy, but it's got the same sort of really flashy, wonderful style that, you know, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End has. But it's a wholly original thing. And that's another thing I love about the movie. You know, before the movie, there were like 8 trailers. Like 6 of them were sequels. 1 was a remake. And here's this wholly original idea. I mean, that's one of the things that I think is the strength of Edgar Wright is like the originality that's in this script. You won't see anything like this. I mean, it's obviously, you know, it was inspired by movies like The Driver that Walter Hill made. By the way, Walter Hill, the director of The Driver, who also directed 48 Hours and The Warriors and Southern Comfort, one of the greatest action film directors of all time, has a voiceover cameo in it. And I recognized his damn voice because that's how much of a geek I am. And that's how cool Edgar Wright is, fully acknowledging that this movie would not exist without Walter Hill's movie from 1977, The Driver, with Ryan O'Neill. And I heard his voice late in the film, and I heard his voice, and I'm like, that's Walter Hill, man. He cast Walter Hill. You know who else makes an appearance in the movie? Paul Williams is in it.
Ah, look at that.
I was like, this is the greatest movie of all. How could this movie get better? Paul Williams. So, yeah, Baby Driver, highly, highly recommended. All right, we got to take a break. Coming up after 2:30, Dr. Karen Phillip is going to talk to us about how the internet and how social media affects kids, what we can do about that, and much, much more. And speaking of kids, when we come back, interesting article about why coloring and doodling makes us feel good. Another, like, sort of childhood activity. The theme this morning will be childhood stuff. So why coloring and doodling will make us feel good. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Hi, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. We'll play them later. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday, yeah. That's any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. After 2:30, Dr. Karen Phillip, a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist, is going to join us. And that's coming up after 2:30. And later on, we're going to be talking about, we'll tell you a little bit about the history of Whammo. And then talk about your favorite and most classic and weirdest and most fun toys of all time. And speaking of kids and toys and stuff like that, why does coloring and doodling make us feel good? It's an interesting story. Art therapy experts at Drexel University and the College of New Jersey wonder if there was a neurological basis for the relaxation-inducing powers of coloring, doodling, and drawing. The best way to find out, they figured, would be to watch people's brains as they tooled around on the page. The researcher recruited 26 people, 8 of whom were self-identified as artists, quote-unquote. They fitted each person with a special brain imaging headband and gave them markers and paper. Participants then had 3 mini art sessions lasting 3 minutes, 1 each of doodling, coloring, and drawing whatever they felt like. Between sessions, they left the headbands on and rested their hands. Afterwards, the researcher asked participants how they felt about each activity and about themselves. As human experiments go, this one was pretty sweet for its participants, many of whom said the arts and crafts experiment made them feel like they had more good ideas and were better at solving problems afterwards. But 3 minutes was not long enough, some said. They wanted more time. Their brains seemed similarly into it. All 3 activities produced an increase in blood flow to the prefrontal cortex, a region that plays a central part in the brain's reward system. During rest periods, blood flow slowed until it reached normal resting rates. Some people did enjoy the process more than others. A self-described artist's actually reported finding the coloring portion of the experiment kind of stressful. Stressful, you know why? Because you got to stay in the lines. it says a lead author, Giria Kamal, said, I think artists might have felt very constrained by the pre-drawn shapes and limited choice of media. They might have also felt some frustration as they could not complete the image in that short a time. In general, though, Kamal and her colleagues found that people enjoyed those basic, low-pressure creative tasks. Sometimes we tend to be very critical of what we do because we have internalized societal judgments of what is good or bad art and therefore who is skilled and who is not. We might be reducing or neglecting a simple potential source for rewards perceived by the brain, and this biological proof could potentially challenge some of our assumptions about ourselves. It's interesting. Dan, did you color a lot when you were a kid?
Not especially.
No.
But it was weird because I remember in college, my friend Emily and Jess, that this would be their stress-relieving thing that they did. This was before it was, like, popular and a thing and a fad and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
they would do that, and then they would give it to us as, like, birthday gifts in addition to booze. So so it's just kind of weird to see it now, like, all of a sudden be, like, this thing. But they were onto something back then. That,
yeah.
Just, like, to sit around and, you know, we'd watch movies and they'd have coloring books and just fill in these things.
Well, the adult coloring book thing is huge.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
And it really, I mean, it exploded over the past few years.
Yeah, right? I'd say within the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, when you go to the Jewels or the Oscars, I mean, there's adult coloring books, like, right there.
Yeah.
They advertised, I forget what station we were watching, it was probably, like, HGTV, but, like, they now advertise colored pencils, like, colored pencil kits for adults.
Yeah.
You know, so
no, it is definitely a thing. There's no question about it. Esmeralda, do you interested in the adult coloring books?
I love coloring.
Yeah.
I just wish they wouldn't give you colored pencils.
Mm-hmm.
I want crayons.
You want the old school crayons.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about the
or a marker.
We talked about crayons, and we'll probably end up talking about crayons a little bit later on since we're going to talk about toys and childhood and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I was the only one who had the big box of crayons with the sharpener in the back. I felt very bad for you guys that you never had the giant box of crayons with the sharpener.
I had a regular sharpener.
Just you used a regular sharpener.
Just a pencil sharpener.
Yeah, no, that's what a lot of people did.
I mean, isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much. But it was just cool because it was inside the box. Like, it was already part of the box. So it was cool. Vic, did you do any coloring when you were a kid?
Yeah, some. Yeah. Like Esmeralda, for some reason, I still enjoy it, but I never do it.
Yeah.
But if I'm sitting down with kids and coloring, it's kind of
it's fun. probably relaxing.
It is, yeah.
You know? I don't do the I did when I was a kid, and I was bad at it. I was all over the place. I couldn't stay within the line. I'm a slob in every part of my life. But Esmeralda, do you feel relaxed when you draw your signature dog?
I've only drawn it. That last time I had to draw it for the picture.
By the way,
I don't usually draw it.
Remember we lost the first one?
It is back.
It's back.
Oh, really? Back.
Yeah. With the first
the
doodle.
The search party found it.
The mm-hmm. first doodle that Esmeralda did where she did her famous dog with the tongue hanging out, we lost it. So she drew another one with a flower. But now they're both up on the cabinet in where Dan sits in the producer hut. So... Well, there you go. So according to these scientists, it makes your brain, you get a reward from your brain by doodling and coloring. So let's do that more often. Shall we? All right. We got to take a break. We got the news coming up next. And then Dr. Karen Phillip is going to join us live from Australia. And she's going to talk about how the social media affects children and affects us. And we'll get into a lot more as well. Fascinating guest. And she's coming up right after the news, which is next.